Good morning. We're calling to order the August 22nd, 2012 variance hearing of Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Ava Harris Taylor, who will be the executive secretary and running controls for the meeting today. One note on the time, it is 9:30, or the clock is out of order there. If it's even worse than last time we were here, but we'll report that if it happens. Some basic information on the variance hearing today. First, the order of presentation. Project sponsors and or property owners will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral testimony as to how the 5 findings necessary to justify a variance have been met for the particular project. At this time, the applicant and or owner should also submit the declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be given 3 minutes to speak. If there's any public comment in opposition to the project, then the project sponsor will be given a 3-minute rebuttal. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the project sponsor, members of the public. At the end of the hearing, I may close the item, make a decision today, may continue it to a future date, may take action actually today and grant or deny the variance. There are no items on the consent calendar today. We have 11 items on the regular calendar. There'll be a general public comment at the end of the hearing for items that are not on the agenda, and that'll be allowed at 3 minutes each. Now, the criteria for justifying a variance. Planning Code Section 305C states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following 5 findings. Finding number 1, that there are exceptional extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class of district. Finding number 2, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number 3, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number 4, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number 5, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. No decision is final until a decision letter is issued. If you would like to receive a copy of the decision letter, please sign up on the sign-in sheet on the far wall and we will mail a copy to you when it's prepared. Given current backlogs, it may take up to 2 months to process and complete the variance decision letter. Also, sometimes we will hold the decision letter until any associated notification for Section 311 or 312 has been completed. The decision letter itself carries a 10-day appeal period to the Board of Appeals, so that would be the appeal body, and no decision is final until the decision letter is issued. Other matters, private conversation can be very disruptive during the hearing. While we encourage parties to meet and discuss, we would ask that you do that quietly in the room or preferably outside the room. The next variance hearing is scheduled for September 2021. And I will not be at that hearing. Dan Sider will be acting zoning administrator at the next variance hearing. Audio recordings of variance hearings beginning with the January 1st, 2011 hearing are available on the Planning Department's website as a link on the hearing agenda. And that's all. We can now move on to calendar.
On our regular calendar, item number 1, case number 2012.0669V, 1069 Cap Street, rear yard, exposure, and open space variances sought. Is the sponsor of this project here? Would you please approach the mic? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Hello, my name is Seth Bohr. I'm with Bohr Bridges Architecture. Also with me is Anand Sheff. He's our project manager. I'm going to speak very quickly to try to get into the 5 minutes, so please give me questions afterwards. Here's our declaration of posting. And this. So our project proposes to add a two-story, two-unit structure to an existing property in an RTO zoning district. What we've got existing on the site is, between Cap and Cypress Alley, a two-story, four-unit building in the front that drops down to a single-story, one unit in the middle with a small storage shed built off Cypress Alley in the rear. What we're proposing to do is remove the storage shed and build a two-story structure with two units in it along Cypress Alley. We think that this is in keeping with what the RTO zoning encourages us to do in terms of density. We also feel that it's in keeping with the pattern of the neighborhood. RTO allows 9 units here, and we're keeping it to 7 because we believe that fits in better with the existing fabric of the neighborhood. Part of this, we're asking for several variances. Let's start first with rear yard. Existing on the site, what you'll see is that we already have no rear yard to speak of, no conforming rear yard. The existing building extends into the required setback, and the shed that we're planning to remove makes the rear yard practically non-existent at about 8'1" along Cypress Alley. We're proposing to remove that shed and add a new two-story, two-unit building there, which we feel does not intensify the lack of rear yard, but takes advantage of the same non-conforming situation that's already there in order to densify it. We also feel that this is very much in keeping with the pattern on this block. What you'll see from this diagram is that our property, outlined in red, immediately diagonal across from it are a two-story and a three-story dwelling unit right in that rear yard. Immediately opposite is a single-story garage and adjacent single-story garage on neighboring properties all the way back to Cypress Alley in the rear yard. And then you'll see sprinkled throughout the rest of the block are other properties that have no conforming rear yard. One of the variances listed is open space. In this case, we actually believe that we can bring the property into conformance. What is on the property now used as open space is this concrete side yard, which continues on to Cypress Alley in the back. Currently, the overall slope of this side yard is greater than the 5% allowable for a public common space. So we don't feel that it actually meets the current code and is not conforming. By capturing the rear of this and putting our building along the back, we're planning to develop an internal courtyard, terrace it out, get the correct slopes, and create, instead of a sloping driveway, a real common open space that's usable by all of the units. This is a diagram showing the breakdown of the existing open space and proposed. As I said, here's the sloping driveway, which does not meet the 5% requirement currently. There are a couple private decks for these front four units. Sorry, there's 4 private decks for the 4 front units. They do meet the 6-foot depth requirement and 39 square foot minimum requirement for decks. There's one that does not meet the requirement currently. We're proposing to enlarge that one so that it does meet the deck requirement for a private deck. These will remain. A new private deck will be on top of our two-story development, which will serve the upper unit of that development. And then, as I said, the existing common space will be developed in an appropriate way for open space. Which gives us this breakdown, which is very complex, but basically if we have required 100 square foot private decks, we utilize the private decks we already have, and the new one we're doing, we're left over with at a factor of 1.33, this requirement for common space, which would be a total of 356 and some change, we're providing 560 square feet of usable common space. The last is exposure. Exposure, we are
20 minutes, seconds remaining.
5 seconds?
20.
Okay. The last is exposure, and here again, we do not feel that we are intensifying the existing non-conforming issues on the site. We're simply trying to do the same thing. The only two existing exposures are the front of the building along cap, which means.
Can you finish a bit loud, sir?
Currently, the only exposures which meet the requirement are the two facing cap. This is because we don't have that usable rear yard, and Cypress Alley is under 25 feet wide. So none of the rear units currently have allowable or conforming exposure. We're proposing to not diminish that at all. All of the units would have their same exposure, and the new unit in back would have exposure on Cypress and into the proposed landscaped courtyard, which would be very similar in keeping with the existing structure.
And that's a southern exposure as well?
North is up, so yes, the courtyard is south-facing.
And then the proposed structure at the rear will abut the neighboring property. The north has a garage at the back?
Yes, the neighboring property to the north has a garage. The neighboring property to the south does not, I believe. The neighboring property to the south has a landscaped yard, I believe.
And on the open space, so you're going to be providing a mix of private and common open space that you believe will satisfy the requirements of the code and no longer need a variance from the open space requirements?
That's what we believe is the case, because all of these decks meet the 6-foot wide dimension for a deck or balcony. They're all 39 square feet at least. We've increased the one that did not meet that requirement. So, you know, we counted those as private, and in the matrix we've said basically, you know, if these are all of our units, here's what we have provided as private, which is usable, here's what was left over that we would need to make up with common with our 1.33 factor added to that, and those are the numbers we get, the total required common to make it up and what we're actually providing.
But then, while you're reducing the amount of common open space, you're arguing that you're increasing the usability of it.
And making it compliant. We're arguing that the existing open space that's common is actually not meet the code because it's greater than a 5% slope.
Okay. Well, thank you for your presentation. That's very informative. So we can move on to public comment for this item for 1069 Cap Street. Is there any public comment on 1069 Cap Street? Seeing none, we close the public hearing on the item. I think that the project sponsor has raised some interesting points regarding the compliance with the 5 findings. At this point, I would like to consider the matter further. Initially, I've been negative to the arguments that were made in the initial application, but I think that the project sponsor has gone back and has improved the project and has made additional justifications, so I'd like additional time to consider that. Public hearing is closed. I'll take the matter under advisement and make a decision at a later date. And move on to the next item.
Item number 2, case number 2012-0963V, 3549 23rd Street, exposure variance sought. Is the project sponsor here? You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Hello. My name is Sarah Kitchen. I'm here on
Maybe want to get a little closer. I don't know it. It's...
My name is Sarah Fuchinero. I am a project architect at Orbiters Architecture, working on 3549 23rd Street. This is a 3-story residential project with 2 units. We're proposing to move around where these units are located, and that is triggering the variance for us. Currently on site, there are 3 stories. The first story is garage, second story is unit 1, third story is unit 2. What we're proposing is to move the smaller rental unit in the front, third floor to the rear first floor, remodeling the storage unit that's existing. This is the existing floor plans. You can see level 1 has garage and storage and an existing rear yard. Level 2 has unit 1, which is a Victorian layout, so open rooms that are kind of in the sequence here only last for 1 bedroom and 1 bathroom. Third floor is unit 2. This is the rental unit, smaller, and it has 2 bedrooms and 1 bathroom. Both of these units do have access to the rear yard currently. Unit 1 has access directly here through the stair, and Unit 2 has kind of a circuitous access to it down these stairs, around, and through the tunnel entry back down into the rear yard. What we're proposing is moving this unit, the smaller rental unit, down to the first floor, where it will have direct access to this rear yard. Our variance comes in here. Formerly, the unit on the third floor had exposure to the front, to the street side. Currently, we're proposing in the back. This dimension here is only 4 feet shy of meeting the required 25 feet. We're maintaining two bedrooms here, and we're maintaining the existing footprint of the building. So we feel that this unit is much more usable and will be modernized, and we'll have access to a great rear yard directly from its living room. We also feel that the second unit is improved significantly as well. We're returning it to its original Victorian setup with the living areas on the first floor and the bedroom areas on the second floor. And also get to three bedrooms and three bathrooms in this case, which is much more appropriate for a family that can use two kids. Part of this proposal also includes a reduction of mass on the back side on the second floor, turning it from interior space to a deck. We feel that this helps our cause for creating a feeling of exposure and open space in the rear yard. This is that dimension that's just shy of the required. And we also feel that the access from this lower unit to the rear yard increases its usability and functionality. And also adjacent to the rear yard existing are two open spaces directly next to this site. So we feel like this dimension is negligible, and we're compensating for it by getting better access to this rear yard. And I wanted to introduce Pete Corey, who's the owner, just briefly to talk about the project.
My name is Peter Corey. I bought the house with the help of my parents back in 2001. I was single at the time and was very enamored with the historical nature of the house. It was split into two units. It was originally a single family house owned by a state senator back in the 1800s. It was split into two units in the Great Depression. Because I was single, I could move into the lower unit, which had just the one bedroom, but a lot of expansive space. Since that time, I've married my wife, Amy, and we have two kids. And our older daughter is six and goes to Creative Arts Charter. It's become very difficult to have a full family in that lower unit. In talking with and working through issues with Warbridge's architecture to try and find enough space for our family and enough bedroom space in the house, this seemed like a plan that honored the house and provided our family with what it needs.
And the upper unit, is that currently vacant?
Yes, it is. That's why we're undertaking the project at this time. The tenants that we had moved back to Norway, and it gave us an opportunity to do to reconfigure the house and do some changes to it.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item on 3549 23rd Street? Seeing none, we close the public hearing on this item. I think that the project sponsor has presented credible arguments as to how the five findings of the variance have been met. And this is also, given the history, it sounds like it's if not a historic resource, but it's a potential historic resource. What they're doing here is relocating an existing unit to the ground floor. They're still maintaining, well, not code-complying exposure, with the quality exposure, and that it is the south-facing exposure. Also, there is the side yard, which it opens onto, so it seems that the intent of the code to provide light and air to the unit will still be met. There'll be no tenants displaced by this. It'll be owner-occupied and restoring it back to its original single-family condition on the upper level. So with that, being inclined to grant the requested variances, noting that the public hearing is closed, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 3, case number 2012.0670V, 108 Ellsworth Street. Rear yard and mass reduction variances sought. So the sponsor of this project here, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Hi, my name is Richard Witto. I'm the owner of 108 Alpha Street. Unfortunately, my architect is unable to join this hearing. We are looking to rebuild an existing rear porch structure at the rear of the house. This is functionally obsolete at this time in very poor condition and falling down.
This then generates two variances. We're looking to extend 3 feet beyond the required backyard requirement. And secondly, a mass reduction variance. We're required to give 650 square feet, and our current plans would give 520. Four reasons for wanting to do this work. First, as I said, the existing structure is functionally obsolete. There's a bathroom in there that doesn't function, and it's not safe. We want to make sure that the building is safe and fully functional. At this time, there's no functional bathroom on the ground floor, so this proposal would give us that a bathroom and a toilet on the ground floor. As we start to have a family and are visited by relatives, elderly and disabled relatives, it's increasingly difficult not having a toilet on the ground floor. We want to get improved access to the rear yard so we can enjoy the beautiful rear yard that we have. The current structure makes that very difficult. And we'd like to increase the common living space as appropriate with a three-bedroom home. And it's a relatively minor addition. As I said, we're effectively just replacing an existing structure. We're talking about an area 11 foot by 17 foot, so less than 200 square feet. There will be no increase in height. The deck proposed is at ground level, and there'll be no intrusion of views or of light from any of our neighbours. I feel like this is consistent with many of the policies I've seen in the neighbourhood. Looking at this drawing here, the proposed plan would extend approximately level with the property to the north, which is 320 Powhatan, and would be about 4 foot less than the property to the south extends, 112 Ellsworth. So, so we feel it's consistent with other properties in the area. We've not had any objections that I'm aware of from the neighbourhood, from the neighbours having spoken with them, and actually the feedback's been very positive that they're excited that we're investing in the home and making it safe and functional. Thank you.
Thank you. And so this lot also slopes upwards fairly significantly from the front, right? So
correct.
Your upper level, what's the upper level or second story on the front is effectively the ground level.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And you pointed out that the adjacent property to the north extends further than your property, so you will not be casting any shadow on their property because they are already extended further out.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And you have a fairly large front setback, whereas the property to the south is what appears to go about to the front property line. Your property and the property to the north are also set back significantly.
Yeah, although it's actually the property to the north. This is
it the property to the south?
This is to the north.
That's to the north.
I'm sorry, I know it was something to do, but yeah, 320 is to the north and 112 is to the south.
Because the site plan shows it that way around.
That is incorrect.
Oh, this is south. That's the south arrow instead of the north arrow. Okay. Then the addition will be set back from the property on the north, which is less deep than yours.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
We can see if there's any public comment on this item on 108 Ellsworth Street. Seeing none, we close the public hearing on this item. Given the situation with the front setback and also the condition of the adjacent properties, one of which is a property down to the south that extends further to the rear. Given that situation and the minor nature of the variance, it is just a little bit long of being an administrative variance, which would be that had less than 10% encroachment into the rear yard, and this is just slightly over 10% encroachment. Given those facts, we'd be inclined to grant the requested variance, and the public hearing is closed, and we can move on to the next item number four,
case number 2012-0350V, 1721 to 1723 Church Street. Rear yard, open space, exposure, and non-compliant structure, variances sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Todd Davis. I'm the architect representing Ed and Sonny Ryan for the variance at 721 to 23 Church Street. The existing residence is zoned NC1, allowing 2 dwelling units. The property is currently a 1 single family barn that you can see in the back here. And they would like, I'd like to review the variance that we are requesting. On the site plan, this is the single family dwelling in the front, and there's an existing courtyard in between two properties here, and both properties are built almost 100% out, and both are abutting the said property with the courtyard in the middle there and the existing barn in the back. Here are some views of the barn. It's a 13'7" courtyard, so photos are a little difficult. And this is a view from the neighbor behind that does not abut it. On the section 134 of the planning code for the rear yard 20 foot of the property, the existing courtyard, as I said, is 13'7", which does not conform to the 20 foot wide rear yard requirement, but it's in existing condition. Both adjacent neighbors built their lots out to 100% coverage, and no rear yard or open space is required by the existing code. We propose to keep the 13'7" depth of the north face of the courtyard and fill in the existing second floor laundry room proposed slash proposed kitchen extension on the south face of the courtyard. The conversion of the barn into a residence will not affect the courtyard as it's not change in volume or material. This is addressed in section 188 variance request. The courtyard will still provide adequate light and ventilation for both structures. Neither of the neighbors are affected by the existing condition, or would they be by the ground floor infill on the second story expansion. I spoke with the planner, Doug Vu, about section 135 of the private open space requirement earlier this week, and he agreed that this section was not applicable as there is 310 square feet of open space in the updated courtyard, which meets the requirement of 100 square feet of private or 130 square feet of common open space. For section 140 of the planning code, the existing 13'7" wide rear yard is not conformed to the 25-foot wide rear yard requirement as stated in the variance request 134. Both adjacent neighbors have 100% lot coverage and have no rear yards or open spaces required. Neither neighbor would be affected by the courtyard as it is an existing condition that abuts the neighbors in elevations. Two stories to the south, as you can see here in this picture. And one story on the north elevation. As you can see here, where they have a, they are built on the first floor, and then they have a deck above built onto the residence. On section 180 of the planning code, the intensification of the non-compliant structures on the barn, you see photos 3, 5, and 6 there on A10. The existing barn is dilapidated, two-story structure that both the owners and the neighbors would like to see restored. The intent is to replace the existing exterior siding and roofing with the exact same material while adjusting the windows and doors on the courtyard side to enhance it as a barn. The volume and height would remain exactly the same. As I mentioned, the property is zoned for 2 dwelling units, and the conversion of the barn into a 2-bedroom, 1.5 bath would fall within that requirement, but not affect the neighbors, but beautify their properties by the renovation of the Springer Barn in San Francisco. On the existing residence infill, we're proposing
to infill below where the existing laundry room is, to extend the bedroom out into the courtyard. We'd be adding a spiral stair, removing the existing dilapidated stair. On the second floor, we'd be adding 28 square feet to extend the kitchen and convert the laundry room into that kitchen area. I believe that neither of these would affect the neighbors either. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. So the proposed, you're squaring off at the two levels, you're squaring off that the rear of the building to accommodate a larger kitchen or an eat-in kitchen, and then the bedroom on the ground story. You're also replacing these existing stairs that are in the rear yard with a spiral staircase.
Correct.
So, but you're overall reducing the dimensions of the stairs there. Is that a requirement to be addressed under the building code?
Yes.
And then the existing barn structure itself is not increasing in dimensions in any way, but
or material.
But it's being converted to a dwelling unit, which is triggering the variance. The
correct
open space, you need to consider that further, because I think it actually might still need the variance while the overall square footage may be achieved there. I don't believe it meets the dimensional requirements for open space, because there are requirements not only in the area, but also the dimensions of the space. And so this is common useful open space that will be accessed by both units, right?
Right.
So, correct. I'm not sure that it meets the dimensional requirements there, but it has been properly noticed for an exposure variance, so we can, or sorry, for an open space variance, so we can handle that through this process. But thank you for your presentation.
Right, thank you.
See if there's any public comment on this item on 1721 to 1723 Church Street. Any public comment on this item? Seeing none, we close the public hearing on this item. My initial inclination is positive towards the application here, given that it's a minor addition to the existing building in the rear yard that is not extending any further than the existing building. It's also taking the existing stairs, reducing the size of those, but still providing the access to the rear yard. And it's also an adaptive reuse of the existing barn structure in the rear in compliance with the density limits of the planning code. But I would like to take the matter under advisement at this point and also review more carefully the open space issue and see if, in fact, it does need a variance from that requirement. So, again, public hearing is closed. Take the matter under advisement, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 5, case number 2012.0825V, 3719 16th Street, rear yard and non-compliant structure variances sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Hi, my name is T.H. Jacob. I'm the architect of the remodel at 3719 16th Street. And we're proposing an existing single-family residence, and we're proposing to remodel the interior, not affect the building envelope at all. But we are proposing to encroach onto the required rear yard by adding a small deck and stair off of the main living floor, providing access to the backyard. This is a view of the lot, which is already an unusual lot, and it's an unusual structure on the lot. There's a 45-foot required rear yard, and actually the existing house is set back from the front, which is not required, and then there's only a 22-foot rear yard, so it's a very small rear yard that's existing. And if you look at all the adjacent properties, none of them actually meet the required rear yard, because they're all set back, and it's just an unusual configuration of this block. Actually, the house next door to the west is completely in the back. It's a small house on the back of the property, so it's adjacent to our rear yard. This is an aerial view, and basically we're proposing just a small 6-foot by 8-foot
balcony off of the main living area, and spiral stair down to the roof yard. So the because of the unusual circumstances, the literal enforcement of the rear yard requirements is impossible. Doing a small addition like this just provides open space for the owners of the main living space and access to the backyard. Pretty much all the adjacent properties have the same thing. They have rear yards. They have decks in the backyard, and so this is an unusual hardship for this lot that we don't have that. We believe that it's a very minimal encroachment onto the rear yard, and that it has very little effect on the existing condition. It's basically very light structure that's added at about 10 feet above the rear yard open space. The adjacent neighbors on Castro Street are much lower, and there it's just their backyards that abut this property.
Thank you. So I noticed that you set back the deck from the property to the west, which is the one that extends all the way to the rear property line. That they do have some windows there. So was that deck set back from their property in order to provide them privacy?
Yeah, that was the intention, because that building is right there. And that was the neighbor that we were most concerned with, because they're the most affected. And we did have our neighbor meeting, and they came over, and they have of the projects that are part of them.
Have you heard any other comments from the public?
I was told by the planner that there was a neighbor that was concerned with some privacy and noise issues.
And you set the spiral staircase on the east side of the property with the firewall, so that also acts as a buffer to the properties that have their rear yards on Castro Street.
Correct.
And then this is a, this deck does provide usable open space from the main living level and also access to the rear yard. Because on the proposed plans, the first floor becomes a master suite.
Right.
And they have direct access, but there's no other access from the common areas above.
Right.
Okay. Well, thank you. We'll see if there's a public comment on this item. So again, is there any public comment on this item? And we are on 3719 16th Street. 3719 16th Street.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Sorry?
3 minutes.
Thank you. Yes, my name is Dennis Johns, and this is the owner of 314 Castro Street on the Shepherd. Our concern is privacy. We are overlooked by this deck, and to an extent, we're overlooked by the current non-complying extension of the house into the backyard, but it doesn't completely intrude upon our privacy. Once this deck goes up, we lose all privacy in our backyard. The gentleman mentioned that everyone has decks. No one has decks that overlook any other property in the entire backyard connection that he's referring to. Everyone has privacy fences, and all decks are unable to look beyond those privacy fences. This deck will completely overlook our property, a neighboring property, and another neighboring property, plus a fourth neighboring property, without any restriction whatsoever. Plus, we're concerned about the inclusion of the spiral staircase outside. That's going to increase the foot traffic, obviously, up and down, and the use of this deck, as they refer to it. It's really a back porch access to their backyard, which we believe they already have internally, but they've chosen to ignore that and go for this solution, which we find unacceptable. We don't have any objection to the fact that the house doesn't comply. The current windows have some ability to overlook us. We've lived with that for many years, and there's no point in even discussing it. Once this deck goes on, with French doors out from the main house and the spiral staircase, it's going to be a whole different ballgame. And our privacy is lost. Our house is front onto Castro Street. We have no rear, we have no external access to the backyard. Our backyard is an integral part of our living space. And it's through our house. And to have that restricted by this invasion of privacy is something that we're strongly opposed to.
So you said concerns about privacy, your sole concern is if it was reduced to, rather than a balcony, just reduced to a landing with stairs to the rear yard? So landing the minimum
home. So well, it's the same thing, I think, isn't it? They still overlook us, and there's still the traffic that's going to be attracted out of their house at the second level. Nobody else has a deck at a second level which intrudes into anybody else's yard.
And if they put the stairways inside the house, in that same corner, it would be a non-issue. And they'd have their access to the backyard. They could have windows all over the place. But it's very close to us. Our elevation of our lot increases as it goes back. So our deck is in the very back.
And just one more thing. The architect said that there was discussion with neighbors. We had no knowledge of this whatsoever until we received the notice of the public.
Okay. And any other public comment on this item? That's 3719 16th Street. Saying the project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
So we actually took a look at how the views and into the property are affected. So we have two existing windows in the house that look down towards this row of houses, and we actually cannot see at all into the backyard. We took some photos from the windows. And we cannot see into the backyard at all. We can barely see the roof of the house from the windows. So that's the plan. This is the view from the side window. So this is the property that's adjacent to their backyard. And then the neighbors we just spoke are actually downhill at 314 Castro. So you can barely see the rooftop. And that's from the side window, and then we took some photos from the back window. This is at eye level, so this is the existing condition. You can't see their structure at all. And then you try to take it as high up as possible to see if, when you're further out, if you can see into the yard. And again, you can't. So we don't think it has any impact any different from what's already there. So we welcome the neighbors to come over and take a look for themselves to see what the view is from the house. We're also going to add that firewall, which I think is going to be significant block to the downhill neighbors, and we're willing to also extend that as a higher fence all along the back of the property. This is the fence that currently exists.
Is that a 6-foot fence?
It's about 5-foot fence. Okay. And that's the back corner facing the tree. That tree is really, that big tree behind that you see in the corner is really what blocks any view into the neighbor's property.
And that tree is in the neighbor's property?
I believe so. We can't tell for sure, but it looks like it.
Okay.
It looks like it's on their property. It's definitely not on our property. We can build a higher fence if that's something that would work.
And the existing ground floor configuration does allow for access to the rear yard. What is the ground floor used as currently?
It's kind of unfinished. It's not being used at all, but it's kind of a bedroom and a bathroom that were sort of done and not really finished out. So the owners currently live upstairs.
Thank you.
We have a few minutes to see.
Are you the property owner? Your architect was able to use up your time, but does this specifically address the neighbor's concern?
Yes.
Briefly touch on that.
Thank you. Justin Collins, the owner of 3719. We were unaware of the concern until late yesterday afternoon. These pictures were taken by me outside my window at the highest possible level. And just to emphasize, we can't even see their property. I've never seen the property backyard. I've never seen anyone in it. So I had no notion that there was a concern about privacy.
Okay, thank you. To the neighbors, and if one of you would like to approach and just maybe if you have any response to the photos that were shown here?
Well, if the camera was pointed down more, you'd see our deck. It's there. I mean, I look up at both of those windows, and literally they're talking about building this deck. It would be like right up there. And it's sloping down all the way through my yard. And of course, if you point a camera at the tree, you're going to get a picture of the tree. But you can see our house. It's very visible. And the windows that are there now, I don't notice people inside because I don't look in people's windows. But it's easy to see our yard because I can see those windows from various points in our yard, almost the entire thing. So, you know, I'll be glad to provide proof of what I'm saying. But, you know, when they repaired some windows a few weeks ago, and I watched the workmen do it, and this was at the other side, and I mean, I saw the whole thing going on from my yard. I was working out in the yard at the time. I could hear them talking. Everything was going on. So,
would you be willing to meet with the neighbors and discuss? And it seems that maybe they're just trying to.
Absolutely. I don't want to be, you know, hard about this. And so, I know they want to enjoy their backyard and whatever view they can get. But I just feel like having that stairway there, a little balcony would not bother me so much. But a stairway is going to be, you know, every time they have a little get-together, we're going to hear it over in our yard. And even though our neighbors, you know, they have get-togethers in their backyard, but we have a fence between us, and it mutes some of it. This is straight from here to there.
It sounds like they're willing to also increase the height and of the, because it would be a firewall at the property line there with the fence, which would, a firewall is sturdier structure, has to be 1 hour rated. So that would probably attenuate noise, and I don't know about the material of the deck. It's probably not going to be a metal deck or stairs, which means it would deck and stairs. Is that the project sponsor? Is it metal or?
We'd be. I mean, I'm willing to work something out, but I just, more than anything, I just want to protect our privacy. I really am fine for whatever they want to do, as long as we have our privacy. And right now, and I wish I had gotten notice of this sooner, because if I had, I would have already spoke to them. I didn't really want to blindside them in here. But
no, this is what the public notice and the hearing process is for,
right,
to have all these issues raised, and you know, this is a fine time to do that. So with that, I'm going to close the public hearing on this item, but I'm going to request that the neighbors, you guys just meet with the project sponsor and discuss, and it seems like they're, you know, achieve some greater understanding of the project and maybe some minor tweaks that might accommodate everyone's needs. I think that would be helpful. So, again, public hearing is closed. Take the matter under advisement. And what's good timing for you guys to meet and discuss anytime? So, maybe you can report back sometime next week. Maybe both of you parties can report back to Jessica Look, who's the planner who's handling this case,
mm-hmm,
and let her know the status of meeting discussions that you're having. Hopefully that'll be fruitful.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, everybody. So, again, public hearing is closed, taking the matter under advisement and moving on to the next item.
Item number 6, case number 2011.1345V, 3946 to 3948, 25th Street. Rear yard, open space, and non-compliant structure variance is sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Richard Pennington. I'm an independent designer, and I've been ably helped in this project by my friend, architect and San Francisco resident, Barry Stafford, who's with me today. The real issue here is the rear yard. This building is 115 years old. Seen better days, I have to say. A gradual and partial remodels have not been kind to her. These include bad window placements, incompatible materials, addition of a rear deck and door adjacent to which is a rather horrid plywood washer dryer enclosure. Even the stair to the deck is not to code. Mainly this building, one of the main issues that we got started on a couple of years ago on this was that this building is settling towards Vicksburg Street and now leans 5 to 6 inches over the sidewalk. We agree with the architect, the engineer, that the sole plates are below grade and sit on crumbling bricks. It is held up by its mass and the framing connections. Plumbing and electrical systems are ancient and insulation is probably absent. Because this building originally sat out there on its own, there are windows on the eastern side that now look directly onto the wall of the adjacent property a few inches away. So we asked for a variance because, number one, the rear yard setback has existed since the building was constructed, although the first house adjacent on Vicksburg was built later, closer to our subject property, probably about 6 or 7 years ago. Open space. We propose a deck of 113 square feet because it's all we need, and it works with the proposed floor plan. By allowing a comfortable exit from two upper rooms and then a usable space for outside dining or relaxing, we cover the proposed uses of the deck, and we minimize overlooking to our neighbor's rear yard, and we maximize light into our lower unit. At the moment, the existing deck is 2.5 feet higher than the one we propose, and together with its staircase, which is not to code, it's covering 130 square. Non-compliant use, again, it's there and has been there for 115 years. Right now, it's all concrete, a bit of a yard. It's a parking space, a garbage area. We propose a landscaped area with maybe a vegetable garden for the lower unit and a great view for the upper unit. Our proposal will A, eliminate the garbage collecting rather squalid space to the east of our building on 25th Street, bring all building systems up to code, seismically stabilize the leaning structure, provide 2 off-street parking spaces, fully insulate what is now an energy sink, create a financially viable structure, improve light to and view from adjacent structures, and also reduce overlooking of their yards. The old deck, as I said, 90 square feet plus 41 square feet stair. The new one is proposed to 113 and will be 30 inches lower. Will also not be immediately on the property line of the house to the north. There seems to be no impact on the city master plan, and it should have a positive impact on local property prices. So we urge you to approve the project. We've got 2 families to house and jobs to create here.
And so both of these units occupied currently?
Yes, they are.
And they'll be occupied by the same tenants after the
September.
And notice that since there is a difficult balance for the deck that's proposed at the rear, and by sculpting it in the way that you have, that's to provide as much light as possible for that unit. Which
the unit below. And also all we need is the space to get out of the deck and then move on to the usable part of the deck. If we make the dimension 6 feet in each direction, we're actually creating space we don't need. So we're trying to bend this thing, the shape around the actual function of the deck itself.
And the lot size itself is substandard at the 25 by 85, I'm just like 125 by
125.
Do you know the building was built 150 years ago?
We think it's 115 years ago, yes.
And it does have a significant setback, side setback at the front that you're not in the building.
We intend to leave that kind of cutout there, but we want to put a staircase in there to get to a door at that level so that we can enter the unit from that level. At the moment, the rear unit is entered through the staircase to the deck that's in the back.
Thank you. Let's see if there's any public comment on this item on 3946 to 3948 from Fifth Street. Seeing no public comment on this item, we close the public hearing on this. We've noted the lot size, the age of the building, also the kind of difficult balance at the rear between providing useful open space on the deck, but also providing access to light for the lower unit. So at this point, I would take the matter under advisement. I believe the Section 311 notification is currently out and will expire on the 9th of September. So we'll see if there's any additional public comment on that before issuing the final decision.
Item number 7, case number 2012-0854V, 2395 Diamond Street, front yard variance sought. Is the sponsor of this project here?
Yes.
You have 5 minutes, ma'am. Go ahead, sir. You have 5 minutes.
Good morning, zoning administrator. My name is Fabian Lenoy. I'm a friend of the owner, and just want to go over just a few points to just make sure that everything's clear. The project sponsor filed a site permit, and during the revisions, the process of the site permit, the planner decided that the project should comply to the new residential guidelines, mostly the garage, and the new requirements that were published, I think, in 2010 by the planning department. The existing property has an existing garage at the front of the street, and that's all there is right now, and that's proposed for demolition in order to construct a new single-family residence. All the adjacent properties, left and right, have garages at the front of the street. And with no setback, and these are uphill lots, which makes excavation a burden on the whole construction. In order to follow the new garage design guidelines, the garage being set forward is not an acceptable thing anymore. So the residential design team asked that the first story above the garage would be brought flush to the front of the garage, or the garage set back in. And since the two adjacent neighbors have garages at the front, it felt more natural to bring this first story in flush with the garage door at the front of the street, which requires a variance. So in order to comply to the residential design guidelines, we had to file a variance. And I did a quick little sketch here to kind of show volumetrically what it does. And I think the result is actually a very good project, volume-wise, to show that to the south, the northeast here, since the north is up there, the northeast, all the buildings are at the front of the street, and we would have the garage and the first story aligned with that line of building, while the other left southwest buildings are set back with the garage at the front, and the proposed building would have the average setback between the two adjacent, so creating kind of a transition in the volumes from one side to the other. So we feel like, based on the residential design guidelines, the variance should be granted, and hopefully you will. Thank you.
Thank you. I think you definitely have perfectly noted that this is a transitional property here in between the adjacent properties to the northeast and then we have some to the southwest. Also, the lot is a little bit shallower than the typical lot in that it's about 25 feet wide, but varies in lot depth from 85 feet to 92 feet. Of the hardship era of having the adjacent property that's to the southwest, that's set back significantly, adjacent properties to the northwest, of my property line. So.
And we could have gone a story up, but instead of doing that, you know, I think it's respect the views of the neighbors in the back, and I think it comes up with a better project. The back of the property is only one story above grade, so it's a lot of excavation already to do the project. And you know, and it is one of those properties that's kind of in between two areas. So, and it's, you know, just in front of the street, so it's kind of a division a little bit. So I think it seems to resolve the volume nicely.
So let's have an exceptional and extraordinary circumstance.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll see if there's any public comment on this item on, again, that's 2395 Badman Street. Seeing no public comment, close the public hearing on this item. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, but would hold the decision letter until the end of the Section 311 neighborhood notification, which I believe is coming up at the end of the month. And with that, we can move on to the next item.
Item number 8, case number 2012-0575V, 751 25th Avenue. Rear yard and non-compliant structure variances sought. Is the sponsor of the project? Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Gaddis Lensis. I'm the architect for the congregation of the building. The congregation right now occupies six residential lots between 25th and 26th Avenue. On the corner of Balboa. The property right now has the main sanctuary and worship space on 25th Avenue, and towards the rear of the property next to 26th Avenue, there is a social hall kitchen, and the rear of the lot is occupied by an existing education building and a play yard. We are granted the permit to expand the property to have the kitchen added onto the rear of the existing building. You can see that this was the approved addition back here, and it went into the existing non-compliant rear yard area. After the initial planning approval, we wanted to add an accessible play area on top of the kitchen, and have that accessible both through the education building in the back off 26th Avenue and from the upper story of the administration area at the rear of the synagogue. This gives valuable outdoor play space, which is really at a premium for this property that has both a private preschool component and also an educational preschool component run by the synagogue itself. This elevation shows what was approved at the first planning approval, which was the rear expansion of the kitchen and a parapet and a roof on top of the kitchen. And again, the proposal is not to add any more to the approved expansion of the kitchen, rather to add a usable outdoor deck above that kitchen space. This elevation shows the addition now of the roof space as an accessible outdoor play area above the rear kitchen. There will be glass screens that have translucent frosting on them. And as you can see, effort has been made to help with the privacy of the adjacent neighbors to the property. All the windows at the rear of the building have all been frosted to try and respect the privacy of the neighbor of the adjacent lot near 26th Avenue. And also, again, as I mentioned, all the glass and safety enclosures around the upper deck will also be screened to ensure the privacy of the neighbor for the adjacent residential lots. So this is the floor plan, again, an enlarged floor plan showing the access from the rear of the upper story of the synagogue. And this is the roof of the kitchen, the play space there. And these are the 6 foot high glass screens all along the upper playground area, connecting again to the existing rear education building. So I believe we do have support and outreach from the neighbors, and we would ask that you grant this variance application.
Thank you. And we did get an email this week from the adjacent neighbor, and they noted a couple items. I think one was some inconsistencies in the plans that have been addressed.
Yes, that's correct. We've updated the plans. In fact, I believe the plans we showed this morning are the updated plans that the neighbors thought is in.
So. And then I think there were, and basically, all good. We'll just go to public comment and see what comments there are.
Thank you.
Thank you. So now we can move on to public comment for this item, and then 7125th Avenue.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to comment on the proposed project. My name is Michael Mitsurla, and this is my wife, Chizu. And we live with our daughter at 758 26th Avenue, which is the residence adjacent and to the south of the synagogue. We support the proposed variance. The privacy mitigation measures negotiated with our neighbors have been illustrated in the drawings. And we want to thank the neighbors and the architect for addressing our privacy concerns. A couple of requests that we had regarding noise mitigation was one to limit the use of the second floor deck so it doesn't, it's not used after 10 p.m. And along those same lines, we requested the awning windows on the south side of the kitchen to remain closed after 10 p.m. In the past, on occasion, there have been caterers or people working in the previous kitchen past midnight, and the proposed kitchen is located much closer to our bedrooms than the previous kitchen. The project planner mentioned that you would support requiring fixed windows rather than awning, and we appreciate your consideration. However, I believe those windows have already been installed, and my wife and I would feel a little bit uncomfortable if our neighbors were required to change out windows already installed. So therefore, if possible, we would prefer instead that there was a condition that required the windows to remain closed after 10 p.m.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. And so the other measures that were adopted were the screening and the frosting of the windows.
Yeah, we were okay with that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
So, any other public comment on this item on 751 25th Avenue? Seeing none, probably sponsored, you have a 3 minute rebuttal and maybe speak to the proposed condition that would limit use after 10 p.m. Is there no.
I can address the fact that the kitchen will be used by caterers, that we will make it as a policy to ask them not to, but it may not be something that can enforce 100%, as we are not on site and supervising the use of the kitchen at all hours of the day. So it's something that we'll write into our contracts as we rent the kitchen out for use as a condition. But of course, I think that like we've explained to Michael, we'll do the best we can to enforce it, but we can't necessarily control
the hours. Could you post that on the doors and the windows that they remain closed after 10 p.m. and the deck not be used?
Well, right, and again, that will be the condition, but again, since we will be renting out the facility, sometimes even though you require it as part of the condition of usage, you can't necessarily control that.
But so you will try your best.
We will try our best, put forth our best effort.
Okay, thank you. Anything else to add? Or?
Yeah, no, we're absolutely very willing to work with neighbors as we demonstrated in the past. And we've always had open lines of communication and asked them to communicate with us directly if there's an issue or concern that they have. And certainly posting signs in the kitchen and other spaces that the windows cannot be used, cannot be opened after 10 p.m., as well as usage of the deck after 10 p.m. is not at all a problem. But if there is a specific concern, then the neighbors should contact us directly so we can deal with it in a timely manner.
And assuming everyone has?
Yes. We're all on speed dial.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. So with that, I close the public hearing on the item. They plan to grant the requested variance. It would add the condition that specifying the screening and frosting that was added on the plan, would note that as a condition of approval that should be maintained. then the any decision letter that is issued also would request that we have a condition there that limits the use of the deck and that the windows not be opened after 10 p.m. So we'd have the 10 p.m. limit and also have a posting that that'd be posted on the inside of the property to inform and you know, appreciate the both parties coming together here and working over potentially several years now to come up with a solution here. So with that, public hearing is closed. I should grant the variances which are requested with those specified conditions. And we can move on to the next item.
Item number 9, case number 2012-0069V, 500 Vienna Street, also known as 644 Persia Avenue. Rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Basically, I'm the owner of the property, and Ray is the architect.
All right, you have 5 minutes.
Yes, my needs for the addition.
Can you pull the microphone a little bit closer to you, maybe? Or,
the middle one.
Right. Yes, yeah.
Okay. Basically, my need for the addition, which is raising the roof line on the garage 6 feet and sending it back. My mother, I had that property remodeled. My mother was living next door. In 2009, when she passed away, my brother Gus, he got inherited the property. All my equipment was in the garage because I had full use of the garage in the basement. At the time that my brother took over, the needs became his needs, and I needed to move my stuff out, which I moved into the garage, but I had to move my vehicle out on the street. So I'm trying to just raise the height of the garage by 6 feet to allow for shelving so that I could place products like your Christmas ornaments, everything that you would normally have in a household. And this is where we came up with the design just for that small addition, I believe, that out of the rear garage, not there.
Okay. I want to say that I'm the designer of the project. This is a mixed use, so downstairs we have a store, and he owns the store, and he lives upstairs. And the house upstairs does have an attic, so we're trying to do is raise the ceiling of the existing garage to match the deck, the existing deck, and we know that's the 25 feet open space, and so we're trying to make use of that space by having it, you know, and connecting the two decks, the two deck plus the existing deck.
I could like to post this picture of what it looks like right now. You can see that, and that's the area we're talking about. Is closing this area up and raising it to the same height as that deck is right there. I've got, this is the posting of the signage, and I've discussed with all the neighbors within my area, and they, most of them gave me letters of support that you want to see those. I've got those from you. But basically, right now I'm using my business downstairs for storage of stuff that are personal items that should belong in the garage. And the house is short on storage space.
So I think there had been a previous proposal that actually had a two-story addition.
Yes.
So that's no.
Yes, no. We've eliminated that. We talked to planning. They said that wouldn't apply, and we eliminated that and just raised the roof line to be equal to what's existing right now. It's the same design, the same same tile layout in the front.
And then the storage is going to be. Kind of form. How are you going to provide the additional storage in the garage again?
Right. It would be, well, I'd be able to get my vehicle into the garage and then have shelving because of that raised space. I can shelve it all the way around and that would be what I would use for storage. I got similar, which I've taken away from my business here. I could show you.
Yeah.
That this is all in the store right now, stuff that I had to move around here, and it'd be the same way, but this is all personal products, which eliminate my inventory for my business, stuff that I use for sales.
So you own the business and the property?
I own the business, and yes.
And you live in the property?
Upstairs, okay. Exactly, yes.
Great. Thank you very much.
Sure.
We'll see if there's any public comment on this item. That's on 500 Vienna Street?
Yes.
So I don't see any public comment. So with that, I'll close the public hearing on that. I'd be inclined to grant the requested variance. And let's see, I think the... have you submitted a building permit for the project yet?
That we didn't, only because we're going to go through a variance and they said the fees would be refundable. Yeah. We did, so we waited on that.
Okay,
that's
great. All right, well, thank you so much.
And
public hearing is closed. Kindly grant the requested variance,
and
we can move on to the next.
Item number 10, case number 2011-0584V, 601 Dolores Street, rear yard, parking, and non-compliant structure variances sought. Is the project sponsor here? 5 minutes, sir.
I'm here on behalf, of Children's Day School. I will try to speak briefly because I want the architect to describe in more detail what's going on. As was known, this is an adaptive reuse of the historic church site. This is an adaptive reuse of changing the building from a church to a school is going to have challenges. We've tried to address those challenges over the time. And with the neighbors and the department dealing with the historic features. And that is why there is always sometimes a necessity for a variance. I want to point out that the parking variance, while it's on the calendar, it was originally discussed in a hearing on April 26th. It was part of that hearing. There was no opposition to that parking variance at that time. We are just outside the exception area where we're providing parking that's 2 blocks away on another site beyond. I also want to point out that since the hearing on April 26th, there was considerable discussion with neighbors and mediation hearings. The mediations that occurred in Supervisor Wiener's office with regard to the use and hours of operation of the roof deck, which is still seems to be a concern of some of the neighbors who are here today. I want to point out that those use and hours of operation were agreed to by the Board of Supervisors on July 24th and modified the CU at that time. The part of that agreement was that there would be no opposition to this variance, and I see members who participated in those mediation hearings in the Supervisor's office here to testify today in opposition to this project, which I do want to point out while that threatens our obligations to honor those use and hearings. At this stage, we are not going to back away from those obligations, but we'll see how the behavior continues. I also want to point out that the provisions of 188 that were raised by the department do have analogous situation for historic buildings of certain significance in the C3 district. While this is not in the C3 district and it's not a landmark building, we are under the same kind of exceptions where we are trying to use the structure that needs the variance for non-usable space. So with that, I'm going to ask the architect to define a little bit more specifically what the structure for the variance is required.
You have 2 minutes and 18 seconds remaining.
Okay, well, be fast. So, good morning. My name is Mark Jensen. I'm the school's architect. As David mentioned, this was already heard at the Planning Commission, and they did grant the conditional use authorization. That CU did include specifically the use of the roof. Since then, as David's mentioned, the neighbors did appeal to the Board of Supervisors. We, under the guidance of Supervisor Wiener, did negotiate further limits on the use, the school's use of the roof. So, from our point of view, the use issue is behind us. I'm going to speak just about the physical features. The uppermost portion of our stair, elevator, and mechanical penthouses are exceeding height limit. This is section 134C.1. The last 10 feet of building depth shall be limited to a height of 30 feet. That's probably best viewed on our section G3.12 in our drawing set. And I'll just put that on the screen for a second. So let me walk you through what we have here. This line is the line of the adjacent property. We've moved all of our rooftop features, stair, elevator, mechanical units, back clear of this line. Our 40-foot height limit in the last 10 feet steps down to 30.
So the variance that we're asking for today, we believe, is only this shaded section. What I don't believe we need a variance for, back to the plan, is the roof deck itself. So this again is the line of the adjacent property. This deck is below the height of the existing parapet. The only thing projecting above that is the required guard railing that goes around the perimeter. I also do want to point out that as part of our negotiations with the neighbor, we voluntarily and proactively pushed the deck back from the corner of our building, which is not a requirement for the planning department. So this section here is what we gave up of our useful roof.
Could you complete the discussion on the revisions that have been made to the project?
Since the plans that were presented at the CU authorization, the stair, the elevator, and the panel units were all shrunk in size and moved back farther from the neighboring buildings so that all of these elements, including this mechanical chase, are all inside of the line of the adjacent neighbor's building. We also did move some of the mechanical elements that were previously shown on the roof, move them inside the building.
And what were those again? I forget from the CU hearing. There was a, was it chiller or?
Boiler.
Boiler.
Boilers on the roof in the these units here in the middle of the building are only because we have a natural ventilation system. So there's actually a lot less mechanical equipment on this roof than there would normally be for a building of this size.
And the deck that you're proposing is flat against the roof of the building?
Yes.
And the railing that is proposed is an open railing, right?
It's open railing, transparent glass.
So with that, then you are correct that it would not need a variance. Under planning code interpretations, you're allowed to have a deck in the required open area of the rear yard that as long as it is flat against the roof and any required railing is open. So you're correct that that would not create a variance, that the variance here, in addition to the parking, has been noted by Mr. Sakata, is for the portion of the mechanical equipment in the stairway house that is in the rear yard. And it, to be clear, it's a variance from the rear yard apartment, not variance from any height limit, because we can't do it.
Height to height limit, yes.
It's because it's in this portion of the code that limits the last 10 feet that are gained through the averaging to 30 feet in length. So
right.
This is properly noticed as the variance for the rear yard here. Thank
yeah.
you for your presentation.
Okay.
Is there any public comment on this item? And again, that's 601 Dolores Street.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. I have... let's see. This is actually regarding the neighborhood that's surrounding the proposed variance. I'm not sure I understand the zoning code completely, but I believe that the part behind this blue area is actually okay, but the part that's in the red area behind the backyard setback line is actually a new introduction. So, we do oppose this extra large deck. It's 2,200 square feet. It's larger than any deck I've ever seen, I think. The effect on our private space will be quite large. Our apartments overlook the deck, and they will overlook our backyards. They're planning to have classrooms and 88 people, lunchrooms, play recess, and so on up there. And it'll significantly impact our privacy because those are the most private places in our homes and in our lot. And all of a sudden, we're introducing this quite a lot of noise and occupation and also muscle too. The school itself has adequate space on the inside. It's got a huge weight room. It's got plenty of space inside for that. And we're not in a business district. We're near Dolores Park. It's very quiet there when the events are not happening on the weekends, the birds and so on. And that's going to significantly change our quality of life with the addition of this deck. The existing two-story building is grandfathered in, so that's fine. We did not realize this back part required a variance, and maybe I'm reading it wrong, but we don't believe that this part actually is currently allowed. It seems to be according to the posting on the wall at the church that that is not supposed to be there, and we object to having it there. There were 70 people who signed onto a petition earlier to the conditional use saying that, hey, we're not happy about this many people being on the roof. I can't speak for all the neighbors, and certainly there were negotiations between a set of neighbors with the property, but I believe those were the immediate ones, and some of us were involved and then had to drop out just because we couldn't make meetings, it wasn't meeting our, we weren't happy with it, and they had to continue on, of course, because they were, I believe, settling with the immediate neighbors on the left and the right. But there are many, many other neighbors all around here, and I believe there are a significant number of protests or requests to reject the variance for the larger deck. I think we're all okay with the smaller deck that any of us would be able to have on our roofs, but not so much with the 2300 foot one.
Thank you for your comments. I think that photo shows really well that there's no clear mid-block open space pattern, so you have all those structures in the rear yards there. To clarify, the deck as currently proposed would not require variance because it's flat against the roof and the railings are open. I believe that the original proposal had solid railings, and those railings were out at the edges of the building. That would have required a variance, but under an interpretation of the planning code that's been in effect for decades now, you can have a deck on a portion of the building that's in a required open area as long as it's flat against the roof and also the railing is open, which they are having here with the open railing.
Okay. I thought there was a 188 variance request to actually build anything on top of this rear portion of the building as well.
So Section 180 of the Planning Code says that if you have an existing legal non-compliant structure, which this building is because it extends into the required rear yard, that they can't be intensified. The interpretation that I was referencing actually specifically applies to Section 188 and says that you can do a deck if it's flat against the roof and has an open railing, and you can do that without a variance. What they need the variance for in this case is the mechanical equipment in the Sierra penthouse, which is doesn't go any further than the adjacent property, but it's more than 30 feet in height, which is for that portion of the property under the rear yard requirement. So the deck is not subject of this variance. The mechanical equipment at Scare Penthouse is, but appreciate your comments on that. Thank you. So we can move on to the next member of the public for 601 Dolores Street. Is there any other public comment on 601 Dolores? I think we have received... you're speaking? Okay.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
There has been a lot of confusion for neighbors who are not directly involved with the mediation process. And I think they reference me because I did sit in on some of the early mediation process events. I have to that I just got wieners. But those of us who weren't able to contribute to the lawyer's fees weren't able to continue on. And so we are still trying to figure out all these details on our own. And I just want to say that all of the buildings, you can see the buildings in the middle, those are really low. I live and work on Cumberland Street. The neighbor below me also has a home office. Two neighbors to the west of me also have home offices. And our bedrooms look out into this space, and those buildings are low. I'm like 80 feet away from that deck, and the noise is going to echo in this canyon area. And we live and work there, and it's not like we just have lunch there. It's not like we just, you know, have events once in a while there. This is our home, and we've all invested so much energy and time and money into making it a haven. And our living rooms look out in the front. Yes, we live in a public city. It's a very large city. I support green spaces. I support gardens. When we first learned about this, it was a classroom for 25 students, a garden classroom for 25 students. It has grown and become a space for 88 people. And I just can't even imagine that the administrators and parents would want to have a deck for 88 people 50 or 80 or even 100 feet from their bedroom window or from their office. So I get the sense that there's nothing we can do about this now. And I just wanted to put that out there, that the school before, the synagogue before, I was really impressed that they were putting glass and they considered issues of noise, issue of sound. And I would have to say that this has not been as amenable in the process. So.
Thank you for your comment. Any other public comment on this item on 601 Dolores Street? Seeing none, Project Small 3, about a 3-minute rebuttal. And if you could also use some of your time to speak to the discussions that you had with Supervisor Wiener and the ultimate recommendation or approval action of the Board of Supervisors, because I believe that it did have conditions in there that limited the use of the deck. Is that correct?
That's correct. We were made keenly aware of the concerns of the neighbors with regard to the noise and operations of that. And the ultimate realization is that, and I have a copy of the two pages of conditions that focus on school day hours, what the maximum uses can be. There's only can be lunch there, which would be the maximum time. There would be most people there 3 days a week for lunch. All the other periods would be reduced, not the maximum of 85 people that could be allowed. There are also limited weekend uses. I mean, I can give you all these details, but there's only 6 weekend or evening events that are allowed per year, so there wouldn't be a lot of activities. There's also limited use during the summertime. It's broken up into smaller classes of 25 persons. So a lot of this has been dealt with in great detail after many, many hours over several weeks of negotiation with members of immediate neighbors as well as others. So I do want to emphasize that we did address all of these issues. It was compromised in a lot of areas, and it wasn't when we appeared before the Board of Supervisors on the 24th, it was a compromise that had been reached with the immediate neighbors, and it was represented to us by their council, and it was agreed upon by other members of the neighborhood. So and we also went into great detail about the physical structures that can go on there, and if there are any changes from that, we require the things that we have to give further notice and to the neighbors about those things. I can hand you those because I understand that the department hasn't received the final motion from the board, so I can give you this.
That would really appreciate that.
Okay. And here is the affidavit for posting that we have. And so if you have any other further questions.
Has the Board of Supervisors calendared this item for adoption of final findings yet?
Yes, they, I believe they did it in a subsequent meeting.
So they have taken action on the final findings,
yes.
Just they haven't been transmitted.
Right.
Okay, I thought they had taken action on final action yet, but thank you for clarifying that. And the Board of Supervisors is now on recess, but that will sure with staff that we have the final decision. I think it's been noted here, we have separate issues here regarding the use and physical nature of the deck.
Right.
The deck itself does not require any variance, so it's not subject to this hearing. It's the stairs and the mechanical equipment. I think that the use of the deck itself, while not subject to this variance, that issue has been properly vetted through the Board of Supervisors, through the CU action and the conditions that they imposed on that action. So I feel that the Board of Supervisors has taken appropriate action to protect the neighbors here. So we close the public hearing on this item. I would take the matter under advisement at this point until we receive the final conditions from the Board of Supervisors, but generally inclined to grant the requested variance. And the neighbors have expressed concern about this. The variance decision letter itself can be appealed to the Board of Supervisors, Board of Appeals. And if we'd like to get a copy of the decision letter, it can be signed a sheet on the far wall in order to preserve your appeal rights. But I think this has been properly vetted through the Board of Supervisors in terms of the use. But the five findings for granting variance have been met. but we would like to incorporate the findings of the Board of Supervisors as well into our variance decision letter by reference. So with that, we can move on to the next item.
Last item of the calendar, item number 11, case number 2012.0489V, 604 Moultrie Street, non-compliant structure and rear yard variances sought. You're the sponsor, sir. You have 5 minutes.
My name is Jeff Couture. I'm the property owner. I apologize. I didn't understand the letter correctly when I heard there was a projector here. I'll plug my computer into it, but I'll try and do this instead. Looks like it'll work. So I have a the right page here. I have a 1907 that sometime between 1938, when the aerial photos of the city were taken, and 1951, when the updated sandboard maps came out, there was a rear addition built to the home. That it's this right here. It's a single-story rear addition, and the previous owners had their kitchen there. But when they were evicted, they tore their kitchen out. It's fairly dilapidated, as you can see. There's a couple of bathrooms back there as well. As part of my project, I'm going to be reconfiguring the interior space. But I'm trying to keep the total amount of interior space the same. And what I'm proposing is that I keep the existing footprint, except reducing it in the southwest corner to get a spiral staircase to a roof deck that I could put in there. And that'll also give me some southern light into my living room. The structure right now is approximately the same height. In fact, as this roof slopes down, the back portion of the house that's subject, that is not complying, is actually below my neighbor's privacy fences on both sides. The roof deck, I'm holding that back so that the roof deck is encroaching as little as possible. When I originally did these drawings, I had taken into account, from talking to the planning desk, they had suggested that the front of the house is actually right on this line. I don't know if you can see where I am right here. At the back of the front porch, but then after further discussion. Anyway, if the front of the house, if you take the front facade of the house as the front of the house, then the roof deck is actually within the front of the house is set back 7'9" from the property line, and then using that, that's where I drew the line of the roof deck. But the interior space is still, I'm trying to keep the interior space going back to where it currently is, and just repairing or rebuilding the structure as necessary.
Thank you. So the proposed spiral stair, the plan is going to show a firewall. Is that a permanent firewall along the bedroom?
There should be a firewall next to those stairs. That was an omission that was actually just recently pointed out to me.
Okay, that is going to be a firewall that's more than 10 feet high as well, right?
It
seems that it would be.
It will have to be the grade where that is right now. The interior space is the interior space right now is only 7 feet tall at the back of the house. So I'm actually going to take an extra 6 inches down. They're gonna lower the slab there. So that would put me at, ultimately it's going to have to be about 11 feet, I think, that firewall.
Yeah. And then the sort of equipment railing on the deck in the rear, that's on the side property line as well. Should that be a fire wall, solid fire wall there, or are you doing a fire rated roof?
I'm going to do a fire rated roof there. So yeah, it will be a metal railing.
But you'll have an oak railing and then fire wall. Okay. Has that been discussed with the adjacent property?
The property to the south?
So to the south.
Well, I have not discussed the firewall of the stairs.
I think the section 311 notice is currently underway.
It is, yes.
So we'll need to revise the plans and probably redo the notice as well. Because of the plans, did they show a firewall in that location?
They did not.
So we need to notice that for a firewall as well. It's going to be kind of easy to notice. It would also need to be the subject of this variance. Plans were not code compliant with building code at the time we reviewed it. Address that.
Okay, so what would the next step be?
Well, see, there's no one here for public comment. So I'll close the public hearing on this item, work with staff to get plans that will meet with the requirements of the building code. And I think at the very least we'll need to either renotice or extend the Section 311 notification because they were sent out with inaccurate plans and didn't show a required firewall. We should get that addressed now rather than if it goes on to the building department and they bounce it back to us. I think it'd probably be a good time to see if there are any other issues that any other building code issues at this time. And I'll also need to talk to that to the review of variance, and this point will just take the matter under advisement so we can try to resolve more clearly what the building code issues are with the property and what changes we need to be made. As that, there may be a possibility of doing a non-combustible stairway there.
I think it would still require a firewall.
And this is, it's not a requirement to be egress though, is it?
It's not.
So I don't know if they have flexibility with that, but I think that's the next thing to do is to see what options or alternatives there are for that stair at the rear. I think you have it located well. I mean, you're still having that window, the dining room. So moving it over would not accomplish much, you just ruin the window for the dining room. So that's not a good solution there. Could be removal of the stair, and the stair provides the access from the master bed and the rear yard.
And more importantly, it's treating the deck as part of the rear yard, and I'll have vegetables and herbs and growing up there, so it provides access from downstairs up to the garden ramp.
And you're the homeowner?
Yes.
And the builder too?
Yes.
I think the best thing to do is hold and discuss with staff and see if we can get the building code issues addressed and go from there.
Okay.
And the public hearing is probably going to take the matter under advisement and we'll work on resolving the outstanding building code issues, including possible changes that may need to be made to the plans and extension or renotice of the 311 notification. And this is the last item. So no one can approve general public comment, so we close the hearing. Thank you.